started to realize, and we started to realize, okay, well, we can't do all of this. And then one of our coaches, she had a career change and she needed to more time on her full-time job. And it kind of forced myself and our other founding coach, Jenny, to say, oh gosh, we have to add more coaches now. It wasn't a I want to, it was a we have to. So I really felt it was important. And I think a lot of fitness professionals agree that you pull from your own community if there is talent there. I look for that. I call it like a humble hustle, where they might be killing it in class, but you can see if they've got that thing that'll connect with the clients, that will pull and draw out their inner power, their inner strength.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Creating the 4% Podcast, real life stories from Fit Pros. I'm your host, Maria Costello. Stories of motivation, discipline, failure, and success from your favorite fitness instructors. A podcast about how to create an impactful and meaningful class, which amounts to 4% of a person's day. Made with sweat, for Fit Pros, by Fit Pros. Thanks for listening, and let's get this episode started. Okay, welcome back, everybody. They're married and they're the couple behind the powerhouse of Fairbanks, Alaska. Stephanie, originally from upstate New York, grew up as a dancer and an athlete. After high school, she decided to move north to the future. And within 2 weeks, she met Clint, an infantryman stationed at Fort Wainwright, Alaska. Clint was born in Arkansas, but grew up in Tennessee. At a very young age, he knew he wanted to serve his country and joined the ROTC as a high schooler. After September 11th, Clint enlisted in the Army to defend his country. A veteran of the war in Iraq and a former Black Hawk pilot, Clint served in the U.S. Army for 20 years before retiring. Clint, thank you for your honorable service to this country.
Thank you.
In 2005, 10 months after meeting, they got married, and through various deployments and life as a military family, Stephanie worked in the fitness industry as a NASM CPT, AFA indoor cycling and dance coach, with additional certs in youth training and nutrition. But she found herself burnt out and underappreciated, a story a lot of Fit Pros listening to this podcast, I am sure, can relate. Clint knew it was time for a change. And after some convincing, Stephanie was on board. And in 2019, together, they created the Powerhouse. What started as a small space in 2 short years has since grown to double the size, offering cycling, boxing, bar, strength training, personal training, nutrition coaching, and so much more. The Powerhouse has been voted Fairbanks, Alaska's top gym, top in customer service, and top trainers every single year. It is an honor to welcome a fellow military family, Stephanie and Clint Woodard, to the Creating the 4% Podcast. Thank you, Stephanie and Clint, for being here. How are you?
We're good. How are you?
I'm great. You are joining us from the great state of Alaska. I had to look up what the Alaska state tagline is, and I believe it's North to the Future. That's what they said.
Know that.
Yes, I worked it in. For anyone listening from Alaska, I was proud of myself.
You too. I love that.
Thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited to chat with you. I have so many questions, but I want you, in your own words, I just gave a taste to the listeners, to introduce yourself. Tell me how your fitness journey got started and take us all the way up to just before you decide it's time for a change. And then we'll pick it up together from there. Stephanie, you go first.
So hi guys, I'm Stephanie Woodard. That is crazy to think about taking it back to the beginning, because for me, the beginning is a three-year-old kid who just could not get enough dance in her life, like honestly. And so I grew up in upstate New York outside of Buffalo, and I literally was a dancer and trained hard. I mean, even at the age of like 5 and 6, that was my life. And so all the way up through high school, my friends were playing sports and I was dancing. And in those days, I graduated high school in 2004. And so back then, that dance wasn't a sport. And so I had a lot of convincing to do, because I was in the gym training, I was on the dance floor training, and my friends playing soccer and all the other things had that kind of competition, because it's like, well, are you really an athlete? And it's like, well, yeah. After graduating high school, I had a scholarship to stay in New York, but I don't know, something just was like, hey, go out to Alaska and just like go to school at UAF. And so I made my way out here, and literally within the first 2 weeks, like you said, I met my husband, future husband, and I said, "What do you do?" And he's like, "Well, I'm in the Army." And I'm like, "Well, what do you do when you're not at war?" Because where I'm from, there was no, I didn't know what the military, right? We're like, that's a job. So anyways, so 10 months later, we ended up getting married and starting our future together. And honestly, it's been awesome. And we've moved around to so many duty stations, and he's been to 3 different deployments, and every step of the way, as far as fitness and dance and coaching goes, I have been able to continue on with my career with his support, and most of the time paying for nannies and things like that just to work. We didn't make any money. We paid the money so that I could do what I love. And so after he graduated flight school, this is a very sped up version, but after he graduated flight school, here we were back in Fairbanks because we wanted to be. And I continued on coaching and training and things like that. And like you said, I balancing family, military, which is a huge feat in itself, definitely was feeling burnt out. And you didn't really know, or I didn't really know, that I could do something like this full time. I thought, okay, well, this is part-time. This is because I love it. And I think in the years since then, there's been so many amazing podcasts like yourself that help to open up our minds to like, wait a minute, we can actually do what we love full-time and actually like support our families doing it. And so that kind of takes us up to 2019, I guess.
Okay, amazing. So a couple of things there that I absolutely relate to. I know you wrote that in the bio about, you know, you're not making any money. All the money's going to the nannies. And it's true, especially since COVID. Sometimes I teach one class and I'm like, I'm in the negative just getting here.
Yes. I mean,
just pulling up to the parking lot. But we do it because we love it. And that's something I try to stress to Gen Pop out there outside of this podcast, that people think I could be an instructor. It's a glamorous lifestyle. And I'm like, honey, it is not a glamorous lifestyle.
We do it because glamorous.
We love it.
We do it because we love it. And I will say, traveling and then even meeting, we had, you know, because as a military couple, we didn't have family. And I can't vet nannies, right? Like, I mean, I had to, but so it was definitely very interesting. And you really have to love it because you move to different duty stations and you've been there for a month and you're like, hi. Does anybody have a good babysitter? So, but it helps you grow as an instructor, as a coach, and as a family and as a mom. So, but yeah, you're right. Like, you're in the negative, especially now for coaches and instructors listening, you know, having to drive with the gas prices exploding and things. But again, like, I'm a firm believer that you do this because you love this.
And I would agree. Yes, absolutely. All right, Clint, over to you. So tell us how you got to where you are today. It's a beautiful story. I cannot wait to hear it.
Hi, my name's Clint. I guess growing up as a young kid in the South, I was always very patriotic. Family was always very patriotic. And at a very young age, I always, in the back of my mind, I knew I would be in the military. So I joined the Army Reserves. Prior to September 11th, actually, in January 2001, I was a split op. So basically, they allow you to go to basic training in the Army between your junior and your senior year. And I did that at Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. I get out of basic training. I get to high school. About 2 or 3 weeks into high school, it seemed like, I watched the towers fall in my first period classroom. And after that, I knew I was going to switch over to active duty. Fast forward, after graduation, I switched my MOS over to infantryman because I was a combat engineer, because that was the only reserve unit that was in my area. And I'm at Fort Rucker and my drill sergeant comes out and he kind of laughs at me and he's like, you're going to Alaska. And I was the only one going to Alaska out of my whole class. So here I am, this Southern boy, going to Alaska, and I'll never forget stepping off the plane. And back then you had to get off the plane in Fairbanks and walk across the tarmac, and it's October. And I've got all these native Alaskans and local Alaskans telling me all these horror stories about bear attacks and everything the whole way up, just messing with me. And it's like 20 below. And I'm just thinking, oh my gosh, what is happening here? So fast forward a year or so later, and then I meet my wonderful wife, Stephanie, and things started to turn around for me. We ended up getting married in 2005, went through multiple deployments. First one was the worst one. Went to Iraq in 2005 for a year and then got extended for 6 months. So that turned into a 16-month deployment. Once that was over, they told me that I was going to be a recruiter. So that was the worst job I've ever held. But as far as being like I'm more of an introvert, she's more of the extrovert, couples balance each other out, that kind of helped pull me out of my shell. But I applied for flight school, got picked up for flight school really well, graduated in the top of my class. So
Number one.
So I could pick my duty station in my airframe. So I could pick Black Hawks because I knew they were stationed in Fairbanks, that we both wanted to come back up to Alaska because we, you know, that was where we wanted to be. And at the end of extensions and everything else up here, when they asked me to go to Texas, I told them, no, I'm done. Basically, I've had enough in the military. It's been fun. I joined the Air National Guard unit up here to finish out my time, did my 20, retired, and did my actual third deployment with them. A second deployment, you know, was to Afghanistan, flying helicopters as we were closing down. So been everywhere, done a lot of things. The entire time, I've had the wonderful support of my wife here, and I've got to see her throughout it all with those jobs that don't pay anything because we pay for her to work, basically. She's breaking even, but she's so talented, and I could see that. So when the time came, I was ready to jump in on both feet with both feet. Like, I had no hesitation. I knew that we would be A-okay and that we would be successful. She, on the other hand, was very hesitant. She didn't think that we could do it. And I'm like, oh no, we got this. This is going to be great. And I also knew that one of the scariest things is when you get out of the military, it is like, I don't want to say that, like, you're addicted, but military life is so easy financially for so many people that once you make that transition, it's very hard for a lot of families and it's very scary, us included. It's something that we have to work at. I think that's a big misstep in the military community. That's one of them, is just how hard it is for someone. Like, I was a Black Hawk pilot and I didn't have quite enough hours to be marketable to fly, but nobody wanted to hire me. Like, I didn't have set qualifications that I could make what I was making even close to when I got out. And with her being the potential breadwinner, I had to cultivate that.
That is funny. I can't believe that just got said. Wait a minute. Oh, what?
It's on record. We recorded it.
Oh my gosh. Need that. I'm going to need that clip.
Okay. A couple of things I want to delve into first. You knew, you were sure that this was the next step for both of you, even if Steph wasn't there quite yet. But Clint, can you identify in your mind or a point in time where that little seed was planted, right? Because you're watching her all along, all these years. Like you said, literally, my husband says the same thing, so I'm cracking up. I feel like I'm on the podcast with Amira, my husband. This family pays for you to go teach classes because I've yet to see revenue come in this house. But it's true. It's true. Can you recall the time where you were like, why don't we just do this? Because normally, Clint, it's the fit pro. It's that person teaching the classes who's always like, I can do this better. I wish I could have my own studio. And that's a lot of people listening to this podcast's dream. And I found it so curious that the fit pro herself didn't want that. And it was you.
I think humility plays a huge role in a lot of things in life. And it's something that's often overlooked. And most successful people in the world stay humble and a big head, so to speak. And my wife doesn't get a big head about it. And I honestly, watching her grow and seeing how she interacted with people, I like to call them customers or clients. And she just laughs at me because she's more of a friendly one-on-one basis with them. But I knew, like, she has people that she's worked with for years, like 3 or 4 years, who just won't go away.
More now,
but they stay with her. And like, when you've got that kind of, I would say, a following, and you've got that kind of rapport with your past clients, you're only going to have that with your future clients. And I would say definitely within the first 6 months, once she transitioned to really started teaching spin, I was like, oh, she could do this. Like, she could be successful at this. And then once, I think my last deployment, there was a gym there and on base, and they were teaching all these different classes. And at that point, I'd see my wife teach enough classes to know, I'm like, oh, my wife could smoke any one of these people in here. Like, there would be a line out the door waiting to get in her class. These people just don't have it. So
get yourself a Clint, everybody. My goodness. I'm going to have my husband listen to this podcast. He's always like, hey, Fit Bro, garbage needs to be taken out. I get no respect around here.
Oh, I love it.
Okay. So it was very clear for you, and you saw the potential of this new path for not just her, but you as a family for this next iteration of your life now that you're stepping away from the military. I don't know much about the Alaskan fitness scene, but I guess my first question is, where do you start? What's the first thing you start doing? Is it you start to see that the talent is not at the level that you feel could be because you have your wife and you know what her potential and what she can do, what both of you can do together? You both said that Alaska was where you wanted to go back to. I just feel like that's not something you hear every day. And even for us that were not from that area, especially you being a New Yorker, you being from the South, right? You would think the first chance you got to get out, you get out. Instead, you double down and then you say, and we're going to start a business in this community that we love. So what was the first step? Was it talking to the clients? Because a lot of people who listen to this podcast, I think that's the hardest part. They just don't know where to start. So now you're at this point where you're like, all right, we're doing this. What are the first steps?
So for me personally, it was kind of like, well, Clint's exactly right. So in Alaska, people are very secluded from the lower 48, as we call it. Now, we are in the second largest city, which is Fairbanks, Alaska. The first largest is Anchorage, Alaska. But it's a huge shift, right? And so there's not a huge scope of not just talent, but options. And so I was actually working at a studio, and like, I was just feeling and being treated so, I would call it just like overworked. And because of that notion, people have a grip hold on your city, right? Like, and so they know they can kind of use and abuse. And I'm sure many coaches feel that way. Like, you might walk into a studio and you love the clients, but the management or the studio itself behind the scenes works you without appreciation. And so that's how, where I was personally, that was my step. And it was like, I had a choice of, okay, do I follow my morals and my heart, or do I just fall in line? I was quite literally asked questions like, can you do this, 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 and this? The answer, if it's yes, you're good. If it's no, you're not good. And I was like, what do? Like, oh my gosh. And that's when Clint and me had our sit down, because he was like, well, the answer is going to be no. And I was like, you know what? You're right. But I'm done then. And that's when he said, you know, no, you're not. We're doing this. And I said, no, whoa. So for me, that was the first step of let me back that up. Once he said, we're doing this, I said, no, that was a hard no for me. That was a hard no for me. I am not interested in business. I am not interested in any of that side. I love training. I love the clients. I love cycling. I love dance. I love bar. I love teaching. I love people. And so for me, then he looked at me and said, okay, well, if you don't, this is after a couple of days, if you don't do this, you won't teach again. Cause we chose Fairbanks. Where are you going to teach? Cause it is limited. That was the first step for me where I was like, wait a minute. It's not what I can live with. It's what I can't live without. That for me was okay. So from there, you know, we just started coming up with ideas and quite literally from the bottom, what would we call the place? Like, I had already developed an app for the company or the business I was working for. And actually, I tested it on Clint because he was in Afghanistan or...
No, I was in... the Air Force sent me to Dubai, basically. So that was my last deployment.
Outside of Dubai. Yeah. So
it was outside of Dubai. And I know the listeners who are in the military are thinking, oh, Dubai, it was great. No, that was actually, of the three, that was the worst deployment that I've ever been on. I've been to Iraq, Afghanistan, and Dubai, and that was by far the worst. So
I had developed, literally from the ground up, developing a training app. This was way pre-COVID, right? And so I tested it out on Clint. I would send him the app and the workouts and he would do it and we would track his body fat loss and his goals and everything. And so I called that app PowerFit, PWRFIIT, right? And so with that, you know, being said, I decided, well, that app obviously isn't going to go anymore if I'm not going to be working at this other place. So, but I loved it. I had worked a year, almost 7 months on it. So I said, let's hack off, you know, the first half of the name, call it Power. I mean, we were just doing things like that. Like when you start a gym, when you start even coaching, when you put yourself out there, I think for me and for Clint, the first thing with us, and it always comes back to this, is what do we want our clients, our community to experience? And so we really got into that and taking our, and mine specifically, years and years of teaching at different places, seeing what I do love. And I'm not just talking about classes either, because now with Clint behind me saying, we're going to do this as our own thing. Now I don't have to just think about, or we don't just have to think about what we're doing on the mic in class. It's about how do we want to treat the community that comes in? How do we want to treat the coaches? I never want them to feel like I feel right now. How can I change this around and make what we're making not just awesome for the clients, but for people who come in, who want to work there, who want to do what I did, but I want them to feel great. I want them to make money. I want them to have their family be able to be a part of it. I want their spouses to be supportive of them. And so for us, it started there, like really developing for Alaska, what the need was and how we could do it better than anybody's ever seen here.
What was the need exactly? Other than you being unhappy, what else did you identify that the market was missing that you said, I can do that, I can deliver that?
Well-trained coaches who knew what they're doing, classes that are well-designed, safely designed for clients that can make them long-term. Like Clint said to me, my clients are my family. I'm in Alaska. I have no family here. Like they literally do become my family. And so I want to keep them with me. I want them to be in a program that is well-designed so they can do it every day if they want to. And so there was such a need for everything. I mean, I looked at, once I got past the fact of, okay, we're going to really do this. I looked at it's not even what does Alaska have, it's what doesn't it have. It was a blank canvas. It was a literal blank canvas. And here we are, we can fill it. And so for me, it was, all right, like, let's put some color on this thing.
Okay, I love that. So would you say that you specifically, because you're in a less dense area in terms of fitness, that it was important for you to create the experience first and then the programming and the modalities? Is that how it went?
1,000,000%. Because as a coach for years, I already knew in my heart, like you do this, I've lived all over. I've taken classes all over. And so, you know, you draw from other coaches, like what you love and then what resonates with you. Right. And so then that's going to happen. But for us, yes, it's like, I wanted Alaska to get the experience that I got at that SoulCycle class in LA, but also that cool class I had in Buffalo. And then also in Arkansas, like, so I wanted to draw that experience, but take it and know, and like living here for so long, put it into something that would fit them. Cause I think that a lot of fitness professionals, like you said, who are like, I could do this. We know we've got that. Hopefully a lot of us have the education and we know we've got the class and everything, but like, what do they need? What does your community need? Right? Like they don't need another copy and paste or whatever. They need something that resonates with them. And so, yes, for us, it was, what could this be for them? What could we build for them?
Amazing. And how much of that little piece was Clint a part of, or was that really more an iteration of your personal experience from all the traveling you've done and teaching at all the different markets that you've taught and then knowing what your community needs? Was it mostly you? Was it a little input from him?
Honestly, it was both of us. Like, I remember sitting at the table and I was like, I'm only getting 15 bikes. That's all I want. Cause I can't film more than 15 bikes. I was nervous. I was scared. And Clint literally sat down with me and was like, okay, fine. We'll do 15 bikes, whatever, if that's what you want. And then he like diagrammed the room, like, nope. Okay. This is how we're going to set the bikes. Okay. No, this. And he like literally like made a graph of the room, like to the scale. And like, we literally designed that together. You know what I mean? And so he was definitely a huge part of that, like the experience part when it comes to lighting and how, okay, this light bulb goes this way. Okay. You know, things like that, like 100% both of us. Like,
yeah, I would say she comes up with the ideas on a lot of things and then she bounces it off me. And then I, you know, bounce back. This is what is practical and this is what I have as an idea. And then we make a team that way. And then I basically make it happen. I'm not to brag, but I'm pretty handy. So
brag on, because he is. Listen, Schwinn, our first bikes were Schwinn. And they literally were like, can we pay for you to go and just get this cert real quick? Because we don't have anybody in Alaska and we would love for you to service all the bikes. Now we're on stages, which I love so much. Shout out to them because they're amazing bikes.
They are amazing.
They are so great. But we were like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, there's a lot less maintenance on those bikes. And
yes.
I'm doing that so much. But even the bikes, we recently got a boxing rack for our aqua bags set up. Any of the lighting that's been done, I've done it, bent conduit, run electrical, I've built stages, I've done carpeting.
This is where I think you guys have a little bit of an advantage from most people who want to take this endeavor on. You have Steph, the Fit Pro. She is really in tune with the clients. She has the following. Even though she's bouncing ideas off of you, she knows inherently what she can bring to the people as a Fit Pro. And then you're sort of the behind the scenes, helping with the ideas, making the ideas sharper and better based on resources, what you can do, what you think she can do, and how it'll play out in real life scenarios. I think most people underestimate how valuable it is to understand the Clint side of things. While I think Stephanie's side is equally important and difficult, I've worked with some owners who, sure, they were handy, but they built the podium in the backside of the room and not the front. You know, it's little things like that where, well, why wouldn't you put the stand for the sound next to the instructor bike? Because they've never taught. It's a beautiful built little section, but it's not congruent to the experience. So I think that you have that advantage here because she's jumping in and saying, yeah, that lighting looks great, but you want it to be on top of the podium. And you're like, okay, let me fix it. And then I do it. So my question here is, how did you acquire all these skills? I know you said you're naturally handy, but were you doing things in the military that naturally translated into this role? And did you know that that was happening? Or did you kind of look back and say, actually, I know how to do this because of the military?
I would say sort of. I got a lot of my leadership abilities from the military. So like when, you know, you're how young was I? I was like 22, I think, and I'm in the middle of Mosul. And, you know, I'm basically a overwatch leader for a small kill team and I'm in charge and I'm looking for guys in placing IEDs. And it was a big responsibility at a very young age, but I learned how to read people and I learned how to motivate people and keep people engaged. But I also learned how to manage a lot of things when I was in supply and I was in charge of a $55 million plus company's inventory. And then through that, well, I was ordering parts and pieces and keeping everything rolling. But when I got out, my first job out of the military was actually in the IBEW as an electrician. And all it did was enforce the skills that I already had from a young age because I grew up as a kid working with my grandfathers who were both carpenters and, you know, building sheds, building roofs, decks, you name it, I've done it. It just reinforced all that stuff. And, love to play with Legos. I love puzzles. And that's, you know, what I did. And that's what I do.
And the Powerhouse is a puzzle because, listen, we are squeezing every inch out of it.
We're getting literally.
We started at 1,700 square feet. We're at 4,700 square feet now. And everybody keeps saying, well, when are you going to add more? I'm like, no, no, no. We're not adding any more.
Except no. She said that every day. We're going to get this next.
But, you know, well, I have to say something about Clint, too, is so for us, you're exactly right. And it's like, as far as like the partnership outside of our marriage that we formed is also my thing was working with our coaches, which would be our in the future, right? Like at first I was like, I don't know. Like, but then I straight up told Clint, I was like, I don't want to do that. Like, cause as a fitness pro, I'm worried about my clients, my classes, but then, you know, and I know a lot of you out there listening know that when you start throwing in different personalities and you start growing a team, it gets really interesting. And my 100% mission is to create an environment where our coaches feel valued, no matter if they teach one or 15 classes, period. If they pop up once a month, they are just as valuable as me. You know, what you would call like the lead coach. We have two founding coaches, myself and Jenny. And even if they do one pop-up, they are valuable. And so for me, I recognized and loved the fact that I could, while they look at me like a founding coach, right? It can get saucy sometimes, right? And so having Clint step in if need to be, which we've been really lucky. There's only been like a couple of times where Clint has ever had to step in, but like they go to him for anything about their finances, anything about pay, filling out forms, filling out W-2s, things like that, because that really creates, that allows me to be there. I'm on the starting line with them. I really truly believe, even though we own Powerhouse together, I want to be on the starting line with them. I don't want to be on the pedestal above them. I want to help them. I want to foster them. I want to grow their classes. I want them to be bomb. I want them to kill it, but I want to be on the starting line with them. And how can you truly do that if you are the owner? Because they always are going to have that little thing, like being kind of nervous around you and whatnot. And so one of my favorite things and the best hands down thing working as a married couple is having him there as that buffer to really be, we call him boss man. Because then it really allows our team of coaches, which we now have 8, including myself, really form a really tight bond and a special bond. Because like I said, in Alaska, we are family. And some of these women all of them are truly like my sisters now. And so that's the biggest part for me is when he stepped in as being that leader. He could be the leader in that area and I'll help foster the classes and grow them as coaches. So to me, it wasn't even just that is huge. The building of the studio and the, oh my God, today our aqua bag or yesterday, our aqua bags are deflating. Help me. Bah, you know, and boom, it's fixed. But more so keeping a team of coaches together, feeling solid with you on the starting line with them.
I think that's well said. And I like that demarcation. And I want to hone in on this point because this is where I see on a personal basis where some of my owners have gone astray mm-hmm. and some of my fellow Fit Pro friends whose dream this is. I got to be honest with you. I have been the founding instructor at 5 studios. And the more I'm about to go into my 6th and the more that I do that, the less I want to be the owner of one.
Thank you. It is so stress. It's hard because
it's so hard. And I get to go home and just go night, night. But the owners are up awake at night trying to figure out how they're going to make this machine work for mm-hmm. the rest of their lives. And it always comes down to you. And so I want to hone in on this point because I think that there's a misconception and I want every Fit Pro to really hear what it actually takes. And like I said, I still think you got an advantage because one, there's 2 of you and 2, you have really complementary skill sets. Because when you have 3 fitness instructors or 2 who want to go open their own studio, their own space, yeah, they can do the programming, the experience and all of that. But then the business acumen is not always there for all of them. Not everyone has been through the kind of career that you've had, Clint, where you've learned along the way to have responsibility at a young age and manage personalities and people and situations. And it's not easy. And not everyone has been to Harvard and gone to business school. So where do you get that knowledge? It's a big gap to all of a sudden fill when you're worried about getting people in the door. And I think that in my personal opinion, Fit Pros only focus on the experience. And then, well, who's going to fill up, like you said, the aqua bags? You don't know how to do that? Well, I don't know how to do that. Who's going to do that? So I think it's important to find, obviously, you guys got lucky and you're married to each other, but it's important to make that demarcation. I agree with you as far as the coaches and being on the starting line with them is such a powerful statement. I love how you phrase that. And it's true. Being a lead instructor is already difficult in a studio and then adding the owner to it. Of course, you're going to be nervous around the owner who's evaluating you and also is giving you your paycheck. And I think that demarcation of him being the boss man and you sort of being on the instructor side and being with them, not in front of them, is super important. Okay. So now you're rocking and rolling, right? You find a space, Clint's doing the electric, things are going great. Everything's fantastic. Jenny, you said, was the other founding instructor. So now you got to go out there and you realize, okay, well, Clint's not going to teach. It's going to be me, but I can't teach every class. We need some talent in here. How do you go out there and get talent as you're still shaping the vision of Powerhouse?
So Powerhouse started off as cycling, number one, because as a dancer, I like years and years ago fell in love with cycling because how awesome is being able to take those years of complicated movements and knowing your body. I say this, nobody knows or makes a better fitness pro than a dancer because we know every body part and in English and French, baby. So listen, okay. But so we started with cycling because that was a humongous passion. Because to me, it just, gosh, it just is my heart and soul. And of course, from there, I did bar classes, personal training, boxing, all the things that I loved doing at all of my other duty stations growing up. And so we did, am I leaving any out? Bar, cycling, personal training, boxing. And then we would later yoga with Jenny.
Step classes,
you know, high intensity cardio, things like that. So anyways, so yeah, honestly, in Fairbanks, I was nervous because also leaving another studio, it's not easy here because this is a small town. And I was scared. I thought, oh my gosh, are people going to want to come over here? Like, are they going to want to work with me? And honestly, it really just worked because of the connections that I've made with people and that we have made with people. And so we started off as a small team. It was actually myself, our other founding coach, Jenny. And then we had one more coach. And then from there, I was like, that's it. That's amazing. I only wanted 15 bikes, but then you could not get in our class. You couldn't do it. Like literally people were waking up at midnight when Mind Body would turn over to book. And then it would be 10 people on the wait list and I'm like, oh my God. And Clint's like, we can't do this. Like, we're going to like, people are going to get mad. And so then we started growing our bikes. So we went to 24 bikes and then 30 bikes and still waitlisted. And so then we ended up expanding to the other side of this area. So we had our one area and then we cut a hole through the wall and we expanded into the other side. And so I started to realize and we started to realize, okay, well, we can't do all of this. And then one of our coaches, she had a career change and she needed to spend more time on her full-time job. And it kind of forced myself and Clint and our other founding coach, Jenny, to say, oh gosh, we have to add more coaches now. It wasn't a, I want to, it was a, we have to. And for us, what we did was we honestly sat down because you can't build a community or you can't have a coach come into a community that doesn't understand it. That's my philosophy. How can you bring in somebody or just put a hiring post out for a community so tight if they don't know the community? So I really felt it was important. And I think a lot of fitness professionals agree that you pull from your own community if there is talent there. And I'm kind of like different in the sense that I look for that. I call it like a humble hustle where they might be killing it in class, but like you can see if they've got that thing that'll connect with the clients that will pull and draw out their inner power, their inner strength. And so we got lucky and we had two other coaches and we hired them on and they cried when we asked them if they could be coaches. Cause they were like, they said, we didn't see this in ourselves. Like how did you see this in us? me and Jenny sat down and Clint, you know, we sat down with them and they were like, how did you see this in us? We don't see this. And so honestly, they clicked right in.
Addie, that was the best one.
Yeah. And then, so then we had another, our third one was a 15-year-old, right? So we've got a 15-year-old NASM AFAA certified indoor cycling coach. She is amazing. She's been riding with me for, since she was like literally 12. And you, I swear
seven.
To God, literally she, if she, I'm so excited to see where she goes. She's our, we call her our youth coach. Cause I started actually teaching when I was 14, I was teaching. And so I said, girl, you could do this. And so I'm excited to see where she goes. But to me, if they have the talent, nobody is off limit. And for us, you have to understand the community and be a part of it to lead it, to foster it, to grow it. And so that has just really worked out. And now, as far as coaches go, we just added a new full-time coach to teach, to coach boxing. As I say, we consider it full-time if you have at least one class a week. Like, you are a regular name on the schedule. Everybody sees you. And so we are now at 8 of us, including me. So
that's amazing. Did you say they were all women?
Yeah, they're all women.
Are there no gents in Alaska who want to do fitness?
There are, but it's just, it's a really unique, there are more women in Alaska. What is the thing?
Or there's more men.
Is there more men or is there
more men to women? The ratio is off.
I thought it was more women to men, but either way, it's hard because a lot of our community is military.
Yes. But that goes back to the whole, I firmly believe that spin gyms in general are more, it's more of a viewed as a woman, unfortunately. And when we first started this gym, I told my wife, I'm like, look, we just need to make sure it's gender neutral. I don't want it to be viewed upon. Why am I going to alienate 50% of the market? Like, I want a guy to be able to come to this class and not be ashamed of going to that class.
So it's funny that you say that, Clint, because I was trolling your reviews on Yelp and there's one that says, I'm a 40-year-old white male and I came in and I really didn't want to feel out of place. And the instructor made me feel like I was just another regular person and I didn't feel out of place. And I thought that was so powerful for somebody to leave that review because it says a lot about you and the community that you've created. And I only asked that question because even I mean, I work at 5-6 different studios. My whole fitness career, I've barely worked with any males. So I just find it curious. Going back to Clint's point earlier, there's a missed opportunity for there to be transferable skill sets for people in the military, especially males, to go into fitness. There are a couple of male instructors that I know from the New York City scene who were former military. And I guess we're not doing a good enough job, like you said, Clint, in general, just to give people a new path forward once they come out of the military, male or female. But especially for males, I would think that there's more of a transferable skill set, especially if you're in a role where you need to be fit and are already doing fitness as a regular part of your life. Again, then you need that Stephanie to sort of teach you the experience. But I think it's great that you do emphasize that not only are you a veteran-owned studio, I think that makes it more welcoming for Gen Pop, but also any veterans who might come your way. They will feel more at home knowing that they can see themselves in the owners and in the community that they're attending. So that's why I asked that question. I know it's a little bit off, but all right.
And the thing too about it is we actually in Alaska, you might see one guy in a cycling class, right? Literally. And since Powerhouse has opened, I am happy to say that at sometimes we have almost half of our class, our cycling class, Power Cycle, as men. And we've got veterans, we've got active duty guys. And I think it's all about your program design when it comes to making it gender neutral, because while I love dance and I love cycling as a mesh of that dance, I also know that in the male population, they look for that fitness side and they want to get a real workout. You know, they don't want to be, you know,
they want the athleticism
on the bike. They want,
right, the, so right. We they want the athleticism. Yes.
Yes. And so that's one of the things that we are really proud of because we're certified veteran owned too, because that's a whole process you have to go through with the federal government, and Clint did all of that. And so seeing our class demographic be almost half male at any given point in time. I mean, tonight we have a fitness class and Coach Chrissy is going to be teaching strength. And like I'd say 80% of her class is going to be all guys lifting weights with her.
Kudos to you.
We just want, for us female coaches, I think a lot of times, like depending on how you market yourself, especially with Instagram, I do have to say like, there's that, like, some people think they gotta be sexy. They gotta be this, they gotta be that. Let's take the photo. Let's show the booty. But for us, it's like, we want to be powerful. I want a guy to come into my class and be scared. And they are, believe me. But like, I want to be a coach. I want to be a trainer. And that's what we want our coaches to be. And even though they're all female, they are respected. And the men come in and they respect them. And the women come in and they respect them. And the women come in with their husbands. Or the best part is when the women come in, or the men come in without their spouse too. Husband comes in to box with us. Wife doesn't need to be there because it's such a community where it's gender neutral and we're all here as a community for the same purpose, and that's to get an amazing workout. There's nothing like that, right? So for us, that has been a huge thing as a married couple working in this industry, is creating an energy and a vibe in a community where women trust their spouses to go there. Men want to go there, and, you know, together or apart. And we've really done that up here in Alaska. And I actually on Instagram just yesterday posted reviews, and I was talking to Jenny, and I was like, literally out of the carousel, there was like four men, like this, and two of them were at Jenny's yoga.
That post is what prompted me to go to the other reviews to see if I would see other similar things. And I did. So that's why I brought that up. And I think that speaks to really understanding, again, going beyond, can I teach good classes? Yes, sure. Anyone can buy a space. Anyone could teach great classes. What keeps them coming back is what you do for them long-term in the experience. And that's what you two seem to always be clear on from the beginning. And it shows based on those reviews and what you just said. You're rocking and rolling. You're doing great. It's December, January 2019 going into 2020. COVID happens. I don't know anyone from Alaska. So what happened? We consider you not as dense as somewhere like New York City. So even though you have big suburban and urban areas, what was it like? Tell me what happened.
Luckily, COVID did hit up here. We had to close down due to mandates for only 1 month. And then we were allowed to pick back up after that month. I think we had to shut down right at the end of March. Mm-hmm. So that kind of corresponded when we opened back up with breakup time up here. So right
at the end of winter, we got to talk lower 48 language. 48,
the end of winter.
Breakup means breakup. We're coming out of the tundra.
The middle of October.
You can see green
it again. It will snow. And the snow will stay on the ground until about the middle of April.
It's 0 degrees. It's not negative 30. You can go outside.
And luckily at the end of the mandates, the parking lot had cleared up and it was warm enough. So our first couple of classes, we pulled all the bikes in the parking lot. Now, mind you, it's a gravel parking lot. And we had classes there.
And there's the newspaper and everybody's all like, what's going on in Alaska? Do you guys not look at the lower 48? Look at this. Yeah.
We did have to shift and do online classes for a month. We had to do,
which was very interesting because so in Alaska, we talked about this before we got started. The internet is not ideal. Let's put it like that. So as everybody else in the lower 48 was shifting online, so were we up here in Alaska, but we've got a great loyal community. And I think that speaks volumes for most studios. I've heard that across the board, like, such an awesome thing to see people supporting these small gyms and these communities because they love them and they don't want to see them go out of business. And that to me was just awesome. It just speaks volumes to what fitness is to so many people. It's mental health. It's your soul. It's everything. Right. And so we shifted online and we did everything online. It started off with just like high intensity classes because nobody had bikes at home and things like that. But with the internet, it was very interesting because Alaska does not have high speed internet. Okay. So, I mean, it would be 5:30 in the morning, me waking up, screaming upstairs, what's on? Like, and the kids are asleep, but their phones are literally just on the internet. So we got to turn even them off. Like, so we shifted, but like Clint said, it was luckily only for a short time. And it wasn't really, I mean, Alaska isn't densely populated like New York, but we still have quite a big number of people, I would say. But yeah, then we were able to transition and we have a lot of medical providers that we train, in Alaska. And so we were able to really pull from them. A lot of them were running the COVID centers. A lot of them were running, like when vaccinations started coming out, they were in charge of who was going to get them. And so they are my clients. They are our clients. So we were able to make mitigation plans with them. We were able to get industrial UV filters placed in, and then we would sit down and come up with like, what is the best way to set the bikes? Okay. We've got the lead ER doc who I was training at the time. He's like, no. The mirrors were fogging up a little bit. So you want to move that one there. And just because they wanted their space back. So here are these doctors who are working through the pandemic, but then also working with us because they want to come back. They want to work out. They want to get on those bikes. And so it was like a real team community effort to bring Powerhouse back to life. And it really worked.
And so you were only truly shut down for 1 month.
Yes.
Was it a month?
It was only a month.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. And then you were able to operate with masks inside or with no masks?
No masks.
Once the mandates were over, it was masks to the door, to the bikes. Once you started a class, you could take the masks.
Mm-hmm. Temperatures being taken, all that.
But we were taking temperatures to the door.
Right. Normal COVID. Taking all the precautions. Yeah.
For us, I really feel, and even moving forward in the pandemic, the one thing that I stress, and I would stress to other studio owners, is ventilation systems. That was the biggest thing for us. Like just working with our medical doctors, like it is key to have a great ventilation system regardless. And that right there, we really had no, even without masks, we had no huge, knock on wood, outbreaks. We had no big cases where we had to contact people and say, oh my God, like we really worked hard on the ventilation and I'd say spacing of the bikes, but more so ventilation of your studio and making sure that you have things like that. And that will carry on past the pandemic into flu season and things like that, keeping you healthy. That was our number one thing, was installing a really great industrial grade UV high quality filter for your spin rooms, especially your high cardio room.
It sanitizes when you're not even there. And even after class, we're still Cloroxing down all the bikes. It's still every class we're wiping down bikes. It's, a process.
Mm-hmm. And we still keep that process because for us, again, we want to make sure people are in a clean, healthy, safe environment. So that's what we do.
Yeah. And I think that's important too, to note. Okay. So I want to ask you a couple other questions about, first of all, do you make a distinction between being a gym or a studio?
You know, what's funny is that I really don't even like to say studio. That's why we called it house. Because for us, like house represents like somewhere where you're comfortable. You come in, it's like, it's your place. Right. And so I think that it might still be on our website where we're like, we're Fairbanks's, like we called ourselves Fairbanks's newest place. Right. Because like, to me, studio is like, it's like a small boutique style. Yes. And I love, there's studios across the world. And then there's the gym where you think about the 24-hour gym and stuff. So for us, I like to like literally be smack dab in the middle. That's why we call ourselves the powerhouse, because it's a blend of both places. Like it's that small studio style. You walk in, you see, hey, so-and-so. But then also it's a gym in the sense that we've got great equipment and like all of the different offerings. And so for us, like we just called it a house, powerhouse, because we want it to feel industrial, like as far as like design, industrial things like that, but like different, not a studio.
I think that makes sense. And that's kind of why I wanted to ask you if you purposely differentiate it, because a boutique studio is traditionally known for a single modality, right? They pick one thing and that's the one thing they do really well. And a gym does a lot of things and then you can be on your own, but they don't do them that well. They're just kind of like, if you're walking by and you want to take a cycling class, you could, So it's just a little bit of a different vibe. So that's kind of why I wanted to ask that about talent and instructor. I'd love to hear both of your answers. And Clint, you're not allowed to say your wife, okay? But if you were able to verbalize, identify what makes an instructor magnetic, that instructor you've got to get to class to, you've got to leave work early for, what are those pillars, those characteristics, and the way that each of you see it individually, not at Powerhouse, just in general, how would you define that? What are the qualities that some of the listeners on this podcast who maybe are on their new part of their journey becoming instructors or just learning who they are as instructors can really hone in on what you think those characteristics are?
So it's interesting you asked this question, because we just got done traveling. One of our favorite instructors that we had visited we talked about it. And the number one thing is your energy and passion for what you do. You said this earlier and you said anybody can, you know, instruct a class. And I do believe that, like, it's 3, 2, 1, you know, whatever it is, right? But like the energy and the passion that you have for it, that's the number one thing you can see. And we tell our coaches, let the clients feel your love for what you do. Because if you walk in there and you teach a great class with your cues and everything, that's the base, but you got to bring your energy and your personality to it. And I think that that's hugely important, especially like now everybody's traveling. You've got traveling coaches coming in. That's like the new trend, right? Everybody is having guest coaches come in. They're going and taking other classes. When you have that, and also I would love to say, what do you look out for? It's like, what do you want and what do you look out for? And so for me, that's a two-edged thing because of my experience. I look for energy. I look for love and passion for it. I look for that, like, I don't know if you say je ne sais quoi, like that, like, girl, like, ooh, she's hitting. But then I also look out for, because like a lot of people always look for, but what about the other side of that? Like, you got to look out for the ego. You got to look out for, because she might be a bomb instructor, but like when you put her on your team or him, how are they going to work? How are they going to, you know, are the clients privileged to be in their class or are they privileged to teach the clients? That's my look is like, it's like how I feel is you got to look for both things. So while you're looking for a great instructor, what are the red flags that you also got to pay attention to? And that's something that I really want people to get and think more about, especially when we're going into this collab phase of fitness where everybody's like, oh, I'm going to go teach here. I'm going to invite so-and-so here. Where are you going? What is that studio about? What is their background? This coach you're inviting in or you're going to, like, really pay attention to what they stand for, what their background is. Like, feel like as fitness professionals, no matter how big we are or how what market we're in, we're still serving people. We just had Army come in and listen, I cannot speak higher enough about Akin. Okay. He will be training the toppity tip top, but he comes in and we did a virtual experience with him and it was amazing. He was on a 16-foot screen and literally I cried tears because first off, that was a huge fitness studio. Like, wow, we did that. But what I loved most about him is that he was humble and he was like, he treated everybody in that room, even through the screen, like they were just as important as Beyonce. Like they were just as important as the famous clients that he trains in New York City. And that, I mess with that. I mess with that right there. Because listen, I will fly to see him. I will talk high about him and I will learn from him because that is the humble hustle right there. And so to me, it's who could teach Beyonce and be like, whatever, but who could teach somebody in Alaska and make her feel like her?
Exactly. Very well said. We'll go back to the Army and the collab and fitness as our last bit of our conversation before rapid fire. What about you, Clint? As somebody who doesn't instruct, what speaks to you when you see a magnetic instructor? What kinds of things stand out to you?
I think the biggest thing is just seeing just the client connection to the instructor and just me personally, if they can hold me accountable, because just being in the military for so long, I'm broke in a lot of ways. I would like to say you just over time, just my experiences, I've done a lot of things that not been very kind to my body. For someone to look at me and hold me accountable in a way that keeps me coming back day after day, and being able to develop that as a coach when you've got because let's be honest, personal training, one-on-one personal training is probably the most difficult thing to do as a instructor. Just having a person, holding them accountable to meet you 2 or 3 times a week or whatever it is very, very difficult. And if you can do that as a trainer, you're very successful. And that's what I look for. And that's what I think is something that, you know, people don't understand.
And on top of that, holding yourself accountable as a coach too, right? Like, because as coaches, we have to do all of these things for our clients, but then we also have to find the time to, you know, not just put into our own classes and stuff, but into ourselves and showing up. Because let's be honest, like sometimes being a coach is exhausting, but you got to show up too in your community. So are you taking classes? Are you still a student? Are you, you know, going and taking classes at your own studio? Like, are you visiting other classes? Because being accountable as a coach is a thing too. Like, you can't just be calling the shots. You can't just be the shot caller. You got to be learning at all times too. So
I agree. And I think that's truly what adds to the longevity of a coaching career that you can be proud of when you look back, is continuing to learn and knowing that there is more to learn as you go along the way. So very well said for both of you. Where do you think the next opportunity in fitness is? Is it, and that's where Army kind of comes in, is it collabal fitness? And I think that in COVID, we found, especially in extremely dense areas like New York or where I am, where some people didn't have the capacity to open. So other people let them use their space to do this or that, or the parking lot. You know, we're not open, but use our parking lot, do this, do that. Resources were being pooled. Owners were working together instead of competing against each other. So is the next phase of fitness collabal fitness? What does it say about a business when you invite a coach from somewhere else? Because when I had this conversation with someone, I don't know that I agree, but I thought it was a point worth examining. What if you bring talent in that somehow shows the clients that you are servicing that maybe your talent is not quite there yet? How is bringing somebody from the outside, like an Akin from Army, elevate not just your coaches, but your community? And why was it important for you to do it?
First off, I have to say, as a coach, you've got to be confident in your ability. And that's hard. But I truly am so confident in the ability of myself and our coaches, like on the mic, right? I might not have been confident when we started Powerhouse because I'm not a business person. I didn't think I could be. But to me, I know in my heart that I could teach right next to him or right next to some of the up and coming people. And I feel confident in that. So that's so hugely important. And not just feeling that, but like working to hone your own skills. Cause yes, I could see that being scary for some coaches and some businesses that like, wow, looking at these people like, oh my gosh, I could never, but you have to change your mindset and you have to say, I could and I will, and learn from them and be that student and do what you got to do to get there. Like I'm there personally, but like you have to get there in order to successfully be able to collaborate with anybody. That doesn't just have to be the big name people either. It could be other studios in your small market. Like you have to know that it is community over competition. Now, of course, we all want our seats filled and we all want our classes waitlisted, but truly you have to believe in yourself and your unique ability as a team and as a business to further yourself. And I truly believe I spend so much time, they say watering your own grass. I spend so much time doing that, that I'm confident in that. Now, what I've seen up here in Alaska is very unique because nobody really knew Army. And we work with Keith with KTX Fitness. He's like the twerk man, you know, like he literally put like hip hop studio boutique style hip hop fitness on a bike on the map. I mean, he's been on Queen Latifah show, like all of the things. And he's one of my best friends. Like, and I love his style and him. But a lot of people don't know, studio owners and coaches don't understand. We learned this with our collaboration with Army. They didn't know. Who is this? Who is that? What do you mean? We love you. Who is this person? You're telling us they're good. But so like as a studio owner, I think the collaboration phase we're in right now, we need to understand that that's more for us as like coaches and as owners, right? And that's what I told our clients is like, this is huge for Powerhouse as a business, right? For the clients, like we have to invite that in. We had to let them know who these people are, right? So I think that the collaboration right now, what I personally believe is that it's more of like, almost like a chamber, right? Like a greater chamber of commerce, right? Here we all are coming together now doing these collaborations where it's like, before we were more, it's more of like a competitive thing. Like, oh my God, well, if I bring him in, are they going to think it's like, no, you're collaborating with it as a professional and you're learning from them and just hearing Aiken say our name, like the powerhouse, you guys are awesome. Like to me, that was like, wow, like this is so cool. Like, so I think collabos right now are more in the, that business to business, like coach to coach, like you're inviting them in type thing. Yeah. I think the clients, like, especially up here, what we see is they love us and they love their studios and their places they go. So I see this being like more like coaches are linking up and they're like, hey, I'll work with you. And you're like, yes, like I'll learn from you. And so I love it because it's more of like a chamber of commerce for fitness. And we've needed this all along because we've all gone to each other's classes. We all be creeping on each other's stuff. Come on now. Hello. Hi, girl. You know, you see me and I know you see, you know, I see
you. Let's be real. Yes.
Let's be real. I see you. Hi. And I know you like my jams and I like yours. So let's just like do this together and learn from each other. Like you're here, I'm here, but let's link up. That's how I see it is.
And I think that it's just an incredible opportunity, not just for us to learn from each other, but to bring things to our clients. I had a conversation with Shannon Fable. She's done a lot of different things in our industry. And one of the things that she said in her episode, which blew me away, because she's all about the instructor not competing things. And we talked about, well, the system is designed to literally get us to compete. So it's very hard to step away from that. But the value that COVID brought was to force us to work together in the same way that you and Clint were forced to go recruit talent when you maybe necessarily didn't think that you needed to. Once you get to that step, you realize I should have been doing this all along. This is what should have been happening. And I agree with you. I think it's a powerful tool for us not to just educate ourselves, but also our clients, bringing them something other than us is going to make them actually appreciate us more, not less. And so I love that you said that.
And I think that it comes down to, as coaches, just getting really honest and breaking down your ego. Like some people have such large egos, right? And it's like, just break down your ego. And if you really are truly confident in your abilities and you truly want to stay in this game for a long time, let's get honest with each other. Like we all follow each other. We all see what's going on. We all see who's popping off. We all see this, no matter if we're in Alaska, LA, New York, wherever, we all see. So it's just like breaking down that ego and saying like, hey, I see you and like, I value you. But sometimes I think in this industry, like you said, it's designed to make you compete because that comes from fear. To me, competition comes from fear. If you are competing or you feel a certain type of way about me or about another coach, that's something that you're carrying inside of you. That's a fear that you have. And you've got to get to the bottom of that. Because for me, I am not afraid to collaborate with anybody and I would love to teach with, and I know I could teach with anybody, but like, you've got to break down your ego and get honest, because I think that that's a huge thing that COVID did for this community is it forced our coaches to get honest in the world, like, and say like, hey, now we're all out here. Like our little goodies are not in the jar anymore. They're out. Okay. And it's like getting honest and saying, hey girl, or hey, dude, like I'm feeling you and knowing inside of yourself that that's okay to say, and it's okay to be a student, because everybody in this community, we all say, oh, we got to be a student, but really, could you be a student? Could you strap your ass, your butt into that seat and let Aiken whoop it? But right next door to my student who I'm going to teach tomorrow and still be able to strap that mic on and know that I'm good. And yes, I can. You know what I mean? And so it's like, putting the pedal to the metal, putting your feet to the street. And really, if collaborations and working with people and following people and sending people DMs like, hey girl, that was an awesome move. That really shows me that you are a humble hustler. And I love it because it's like, that's what I want to mess with.
Very well said. I love that. All right. So before we go into rapid fire, there's one thing I want to just point out to the listeners that I loved that I read about you, and you're now doing some charitable work within your community. Can you tell us just a little bit about that? Clint, you can tell us.
Yes. Yeah, so we partnered with a local business and partnered with Salties on Second, and we have formed a nonprofit. It's called Salties Gives Back. This will be our third year. And every year in July, we take all our spin bikes out in front of the restaurant, and we close down the street, and we have basically a sort of a ride-a-thon for charity. And we let each team pick their own charities, And we have kind of a competition between the teams to see who can raise the most money for their said charity. And so far, every year, we raised over $30,000. So we raised over, I think, $64,000 at this point. This will be the first year where we actually have the nonprofit to make everything a little bit more streamlined. But that's what happens. So we're just trying to give back to our community as much as we can.
Because when it was funny, the first year we did it, actually Vanessa and Monica, the owners of Salty's on Second, which is a really popular restaurant in Fairbanks, they approached us before COVID. Okay. And they were like, we want to do this event. Are you down? I'm like, oh, heck yeah, we're down. COVID hits. I'm like, are we going to do this? And we did. The first year we did Salty's Gives Back was during COVID. And so it was that first July of COVID. And truly our idea was like, okay, in Fairbanks, this community kept Salty's and us alive. And how can we give back to this community? And it truly is about that. And for us, it is key that each team has their own charity because we also want them to feel like they have a stake in this game. Like if we were to choose, oh, we're writing for this, right? We're writing for mental health, right? Or youth or whatever it is. That's our thing. This is for them. We are providing an opportunity for them. That's how it's always going to be at the Powerhouse, is giving our clients the ability to feel like they're a part of something bigger than themselves. And so 36 teams, three people each, 3 hours or more. We bring Keith up this is his second year now. And we do it big as we can. And to us, it's just about giving back and not just us giving back, us giving them the ability to give back.
That's amazing. I love that. Yes. When he said you pick your own team, I was like, excellent. That's exactly how it should go. Because so many times, listen, I love the SPCA. They're wonderful, but I'd rather fundraise for Wounded Warriors. And it's so true. It's such a small thing. That hit me hard because that's always me. I'm always like, what is this for? And it may not resonate with me. And there may be somebody else that I'd rather fundraise with. So I wanted to talk to you about that because my true passion in life, I love fitness, but now that I'm a board member of a nonprofit and I've done some work through vets and veterans and Wounded Warrior, anytime I get a chance to merge both together, nothing fills my heart more. And so when I read that about you guys, kudos to you for starting it during COVID and then maintaining it all the way through. And July sounds like a great time to go to Alaska.
Well, listen, the best part is that in July during our event, the sun never goes down. It literally doesn't. So we will be out there at 9 o'clock, 9:30, 10 p.m. and our sunglasses are on and we are underneath a tent, well, several tents. And it's like literally noon. It's like 12 o'clock noon. And it's just it's amazing. It's just like, it's such a great energy and the community is so great. And we've got so many businesses that come out and support and we've got food trucks. It's like a little carnival. It's amazing.
It's amazing. It's amazing what you've created. Congratulations. All right, guys. Well, this has been an incredible conversation. I've loved getting to know you. Let's go through rapid fire and I'll ask you a question. Steph, you'll answer first, then Clint, and then we go to the next one. All right.
Let's do it.
All right. Let's do it. What is your favorite song or artist to teach to or move to or both?
Oh my gosh, this is hard. You know what I'm really loving right now? And people might think it's crazy because of course everybody wants to say Drake because he's thebomb.com, all the staples. But you know who I really love right now? Andy Mineo.
He's great. He's got some great jogs for cycling.
And he's a Christian rapper.
He's amazing.
Listen, he's been putting out some bangers. So now I'm going to go with Andy Mineo because I'm just feeling him.
Yeah, he's amazing. What about you, Clint?
Come on, Clint, put one in there.
For you, it would be, what you like to work out to or listen to while you work out since you don't instruct?
Anything with Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre.
Yes.
What? I thought he was going to say something like classical rock or something. Yes. High five.
There's a world where you can have some classic AC/DC and some Snoop Dogg. That's the kind of class for me. I'm with Clint on that one. All right. If you could only use one word to describe your teaching style, Steph, for you, and for Clint, for you, how would you describe Steph's teaching style? One word.
Fire, just red fire. Rar, rar.
I've got a four-letter word that's not appropriate for a podcast.
we'll leave it at that. Okay. Bleep. The best smell in the world is
bleach. Because you walk into a, right? The best smell? You walk in, you smell it's bleached up. You know it is clean. I'm serious. Like that clean studio smell. There's nothing better. Thank you.
Bacon.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, Steph. I'm with Clint on this one. Bacon smells pretty amazing.
Oh my God.
What is the most important personal and business lesson you have learned thus far?
People. A place can be the most million-dollar banging place. It can be the best put together place. It can have so much money placed into it, but it does not matter if it does not have a great community behind it. Community and people is where it is at. Serve your people well, treat them well. They all matter, and you will be successful if you remember that that is what it's about.
And I 100% agree with her.
If you could do any other job or career besides the one you currently have or things that you've done in the past, what would it be?
Dude, I would be a detective. I would be a murder mystery detective, and I would be good at it. I've watched so much Dateline. Listen, let's go.
You're ready to solve cases right now.
I will solve some cases, honey.
I would be an oceanographer.
Wow.
He would say space. I thought he was going to say space.
Yeah, but then, you know, it's not going to happen.
So specific.
Yes.
I love that. So you love the ocean?
Yes. Even though I grew up in rice fields.
Yeah, I was going to say from the South, but wow, that's amazing. Oh, it's so funny that you say that stuff because anytime that we watch anything with my husband. So he's in the military and now he's a police officer. And I'm always like, why didn't they see that coming? You think you can just solve crimes, you know? And I'm like, yes, I feel like Detective Costello on the scene would have solved this already.
Girl, you and me both. I agree. And you know, we haven't said thanks to your husband for his service too. That's awesome that he's a police officer and that's awesome that he served.
Thank you. That's very nice. All right. What is your favorite way to recover after an intense workout?
I plop my air thingies, what are they called? The air compressors on my legs and I watch murder mysteries. That's what I do.
And you solve cases.
And I solve cases, honey. That's what I do.
What about you, Clint?
I listen to some nice chill music and I sit on the couch and solve murder mystery murders because that's what she's watching.
That's right. Oh, I love that. What's your favorite movie or musical?
Oh my God, I love musicals. Okay, so my favorite movie, it's a tie. Harry Potter and Titanic. Don't judge me.
Wow, what a range.
Those are my two, like, you know how they say you have comfort videos or movies or whatever? Like, I'm either putting on Rose and Jack or we're going to Hogwarts. That's how it's at. That's what's up.
So you find it sinking comforting?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know. It's like, I don't know. I mean, it just has always interested me, you know, like,
I love that movie. I love that movie.
It like went down. Is that crazy that that actually happened? So yeah, I don't know.
It's crazy. What about you, Clint?
Favorite movie, Aliens.
Wow. Throwback. Good one. All right. So you've inspired many people along your journey, but who inspires each of you?
Yeah.
I would say my wife inspires me.
Clint inspires me too, hugely. He's been such a rock in my life. And, you know, another person that I have to say really inspires me is our other founding coach, Jenny. She's been like a sister to me through this process. I could not have done this without her. I did not believe in myself. And she was right next to Clint, like cheering me on, and we cheer each other on. And so having her by my side has been hugely inspiring because there's been days where I probably would have given up or not been able to get my butt out of bed if it wouldn't have been for her. So,
and I would say like with Jenny, we form a very strong tripod and it's not just me and her. Like Jenny is definitely there every day.
We've got a third head back here.
Shout out to Jenny for all the amazing work that you do. All right. So tell our listeners how they can connect with you and find you. I know you're offering classes digitally as well. So plug it away.
So they could look us up on Instagram, you know, all the social medias, powerhouse, PWR. And yeah, we stream all of our classes online virtually. They can join in live. I really love our virtual feed. We've worked on it. A lot of people here prefer in person, but yeah, you could follow us online and, you know, jump on. We're on Mind Body like everybody else. You just got to look up Alaska. And if you guys, I mean, seriously, anybody who wants to ever travel to Alaska, come to Fairbanks, clip in with us. I'm sure you would love it. We love this house.
Well, thank you guys so much for sharing your story. And again, Clint, thank you for your service to this incredible country. And it was so insightful to get to hear your story. I honestly found you. I wanted to say this at the top, but I forgot. I'm so excited to have you on. I found you because I looked you up on Instagram and thought you were doing interesting things. And I want this podcast to be about not people who have some kind of notoriety, but everyday fit pros and business owners making a difference in their community with incredible stories that each and all of us can learn from. So again, thank you for answering that DM and connecting with me and being on the podcast. It's truly an honor to have you. And for anybody listening, if you enjoyed the episode, please be sure to rate it on iTunes and Spotify. Follow our Instagram account, follow The Powerhouse. Connect with them, DM them, tell them what resonated with you. DM me, tell me what resonated with you, and keep listening. Thank you guys so much.
Yes, and really fast, I do want to say to you, this is so awesome that you're doing this. And I am so glad that you are not just picking from the top of our amazing industry, because it is so important to give an insight into every community. And so kudos to you for what you're doing, girl, because this is awesome. I love it. We have listened to so many of your podcasts. Me and actually Jenny were flying down to take some classes in Arizona, and we listened to a couple of your podcasts, and it was awesome. I loved having that tool to learn about other pros who I'd never heard of or whatnot. And I love that you opened this to everyone. That to me is awesome. That's amazing.
Thank you. You're going to make me cry. Thank you guys so much.